Now, Peter has said, shepherd the flock of God. Now, I want you to notice the sheep are called God's flock. In other words, they're special. They're very valuable. They're God's flock. This is a very important concept. This also is a beautiful image of the church. We're God's flock. Now, there are two major ideas in this image. The first is ownership. Notice in Acts 20:28, when Paul wants to motivate the elders to shepherd the flock of God, he says, the flock which he obtained with his own blood. In other words, it's a blood-bought flock. Christ could not have paid a higher price for the church. He gave his life because he loves the church and he sacrificed himself for the church. And so we need to see that the people we are shepherding are invaluable to God. We need God's perspective. It's God's flock, God's people. And we've been given the privilege to shepherd them. He owns them. Charles Camfrill wrote these words, a church that could be ours would be only a false church. So the sheep are not ours for us to use or misuse as we like. If we lose one, we lose another's property, not our own. And he is not indifferent to what becomes of his flock. So let us always keep that before us. It's God's flock. It's of invaluable worth to him. He paid the highest price. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Let's keep that image before us because it will encourage us in the discouragement and the heartaches and the frustrations of caring for God's people. And then there's a second concept, and this is extremely important. You get this. It can change your whole mentality about shepherding God's people. It's dependence. Dependence. Sheep are the most unusual of animals. They are 100% dependent upon a shepherd. There would be no sheep in the world today. They would be extinct if it wasn't for the fact there are shepherds. Well, first of all, they had been eaten by wolves. And they would have died of disease. And they would have either killed themselves or died of emotional trauma, which they're easily emotionally traumatized. There would be no sheep today. So God teaches an incredibly important lesson. Sheep are dependent upon a shepherd for their very existence, to have water and land and to be cared for in 100 different ways and to be managed. And of course, God is teaching us about ourselves, that we are 100% dependent on God for the very breath we have at this moment. And spiritually, there is no spiritual life without God's redemption and God's work. We are dependent people. Well, sheep are dependent. So, my dear fellow shepherds, listen very, very carefully to what I say to you right now. The sheep need you. They are dependent upon you. They need you for guidance. They need you for comfort. They need you to be fed. They need you to be led. Sometimes they are directionless and they look to you. Sheep are dependent and they're easily lost. You're needed. And that's why Peter is saying, please do the job that is required of a shepherd because the sheep need you to do this job. Can we get that vision in our head? So important. We are needed. We have a great influence over the church of God. And then he says, exercising oversight. That's how he concludes this section. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Now, this is the verbal form of the word overseer. And when he says here, exercising oversight, he's saying the same thing as shepherd the flock, just that he's using the literal term. The literal term is to give overall supervision to the flock. And in a way, this sort of defines and clarifies what he means by shepherd the flock of God. That's the figurative term. This is the literal term. And it has the idea of watchful care of the flock. This is a spiritual work we're involved in, not a literal shepherding of sheep, but shepherding God's flock, watching over their souls. Hebrews 13:17, a marvelous passage. We care for the souls of people. And so we supervise, we watch over, we guard God's flock, exercising spiritual oversight. So we could say that the job of the elders is pastoral oversight of the flock. Now we move to our next major point, shepherd God's flock in God's way. So take your Bible again. Let's go back to our text. We finished verse 1 and part of verse 2. Verse 2, would you read that with me? Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Now here's how. This is the unique teaching of Peter, by the way. Not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Now, God is very concerned how you do the job. Not just do the job in any old way, however you like. You have to do it God's way. And that's what Peter is saying. And this is special teaching. We don't even get this in Paul. He sets up a series of contrasting statements. Let's look at these three contrasting statements. It deals with the motives, it deals with the attitudes of how we care for God's people and how we do the job of shepherding. The first one, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you. In other words, God doesn't want reluctant shepherds, unwilling shepherds to care for his people. He says, not under compulsion. In other words, he doesn't want you to care for his sheep because you've been forced to. You have to. Your wife tells you, you need to be an elder in the church because all my lady friends, their husbands are elders, and I don't want a husband who's an elder in the church. I want you to be an elder. And you go, yes, yes, I'll be an elder because you want me to be. Or people come to you and they say, you have to be an elder. Please, won't you, won't you? If you're not an elder in the church is going to fold up and go away. Oh, please, won't you, won't you, won't you? All right, I'll do it. You're forced to do it like a drafted soldier. God is saying, I don't want forced shepherds. He says he wants us to be willing. And that word willing means freely, voluntarily. It's a free choice. But then he adds this very interesting phrase, literally says according to God. What he means is according to God's will. God's standard is that when you shepherd God's people, you do it because you want to do it. You desire to do it. That's the way God does it. That's the way Christ does it. He gladly shepherds us, willingly shepherds us. No one's forcing him to do it. It's his choice to do it. We know this is God's way because we read in 2 Corinthians 9:7 when he talks about financial giving, he says, don't do it under compulsion. Don't be forced to give. You know, I'll give. Oh, it's going to hurt, but I'll do it. I'll do it. No, 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 God. He says he loves a cheerful giver. Well, the same concept is here. He wants a cheerful elder, a joyous elder, someone who says, I want to do this. I desire to do this. Now, if you're not doing this willingly, according to God's standard, you won't do the job. You're not going to shepherd the people. You're going to have 100 other preoccupied duties. Your mind's going to be someplace else. You're not going to have the energy or the desire to do this. So it's got to be willingly. It has to be the way God wants it. Let's do it the way the Lord does it, from a cheerful heart, a joyous heart, wanting to do it. Now, the second series of contrasts, he says, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Cranfield calls this the spirit of the hireling. You may not realize this, but this is worldwide a huge problem. People who want to get into positions in the church because they want to get their hands on money. And you may not realize this, for years I have been collecting newspaper articles and magazine articles on how many pastors and elders and church leaders getting caught embezzling money or pilfering money. It's a huge, huge problem worldwide. If you don't believe it, ask any missionary. Key moment is when the missionary hands the money over to the local people. So often on TV, we see this, religious leaders using the people to get money. Someone has said, money and religion don't mix, and there's a lot of truth to that. A lot of people are robbing the Lord's people and often robbing poor people, making false promises. Send me your money and you'll get four times as much back. Don't do it. That's the only person who's going to get rich, the person who's asking for the money. You'll get poorer. Don't do it. We're robbing the poor. So Peter is saying this, You're not supposed to have as a motivation, get my hands on the money, or I'll earn more. This is a good job. Instead, we are to do this eagerly. Eagerly. And that word eagerly is a stronger word than willingly. It has the idea of zealously, enthusiastically, readily. There should be an eagerness to do this. In fact, there's a great example of this in the Apostle Paul, who in Acts 20 tells us that he basically went out and worked, had a job, and provided for his own needs. He says, these hands provided for my own needs, and those who were with me. In other words, he did it eagerly. He even provided for himself, and he could say this, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Notice he says, I didn't even covet your money. I didn't covet the clothes I could get from you. I provided these things myself, eagerly, willingly, to serve you and to care for you. Let us be very careful of that motive of getting something for this and putting our hands on money and petty thievery. And let me tell you, you may not say I'm going to steal, but there's a thousand ways you can misappropriate the Lord's money. Heard of the pastor who was caught by the church using the church credit card to go golfing. And when the church confronted him on it, he says, well, it's ministry, it's Christian ministry. And then he was using money for gasoline and using money for food. Well, he had justified the whole thing. It's ministry. The only problem is he didn't tell the church he was doing it. Now, if they all agreed you can use the church credit card to play golf and for your gas and for your food, all right, that would be okay then. But he was doing this without their permission. There was no real accountability. And when they tried to hold him accountable, he got very angry. He said, I'm serving the Lord. When I'm on the golf course, I'm ministering to people. This is evangelism. Well, that's great if it's agreed upon by the church. So there's a lot of ways we can misappropriate money, and we're really stealing, embezzling the Lord's money. There needs to be strict accountability whenever we deal with money, because wrong motives can come in here, and we can deceive ourselves and fool ourselves. Think, well, this is perfectly right what I'm doing, but it's not right. So I would say to you, watch those motives. There should be an eager spirit in which we're willing to spend our money, sacrifice what we have. And there are people, and there are many who have a full-time job, and they serve the Lord's people at their own expense. I'll tell you, the Lord will reward them someday for this. So we're not to have that motive. There should be a cheerful, joyous freedom and volunteer spirit of, I will shepherd God's people, whatever the cost, even if I get nothing. And I do not covet what I can get from people. That was Paul's whole attitude, and he is the example to us, the power of the Spirit working in him. Let us have the motivation of willingness, because that is the standard, according to God's standard, willingly, and let us be eager and zealous and enthusiastic to do the job of shepherding God's precious blood-bought flock, just as he would do it. Let's be examples of the Lord Jesus.